John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Psalm 37:28.
For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 37:28.
Children, please stand for Bible class. Today we'll be in our same passage of Philippians 1:5. You can turn your Bibles to Philippians if you'd like. Still in the subject of fellowship, which is a fairly large subject. That's all right. We'll get through it. Before we begin, let's take a moment of solid prayer so we can confess our sins and resume fellowship so we can learn and apply and let the Holy Spirit control our soul. Let's go ahead and pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another day on this earth to continue in your word, to continue to understand who you are and how much you love us. And we just pray that we can continue on the journey, stay true to your word, and always persevering. And we thank you for your blessings in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So Philippians 1:5 is where we left off. And let's see. And there's the passage, but let me start by reading, starting at verse 1. If I read this enough, we'll probably have it memorized, but we'll go ahead and read it. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon all remembrance of you, always in every supplication of mine, on behalf of all of you, offering my prayer with joy for your fellowship in furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. So on Sunday, we looked at the word fellowship and its relation to the Trinity is where we kind of took a dive. And we said that fellowship includes, if you remember, this is a divine fellowship, first of all, and that includes what is shared in common among believers in Jesus Christ. And remember, that included many things. Some of those were our thoughts, our goals, and motives. It includes an intimate relationship that we can have first with Christ. It included a responsibility, which is our response to learn and grow in our love for God. And then as we'll see tonight, we see that this power and oneness found is another aspect of this that includes the Holy Spirit. So all of these things in relationship to the one word, fellowship. So the commonality that's holding everything together is the object of our fellowship, which is the Trinity, which we talked about, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we said that fellowship has direction and priority. And fellowship is described biblically to all three members of the Trinity. And we'll see that fellowship with all three members of the Godhead is actually the entire Christian way of life. And it's really clear, I think, and we can be already have begun to see that from fellowship with just God the Father and God the Son, that that encompasses what we do as Christians. We start at ground zero, and we have to become like Christ. And part of that is coming to know Him, coming to love Him, which is fellowship with Christ. And another aspect of that is a change of thinking which results in actions in your life. Your life begins to change around what you love and think. The person you love dearly changes your mind so much that it has an impact on your life. And that, we said, was fellowship with God the Father. So fellowship with God the Father was from, if you remember, the words were practice of doctrine. And that was in 1 John 1:6. And the result of this was our spiritual, it's the result of our spiritual growth. This is the blossoming of our spiritual grind, knowing and coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, who He is, what He's doing in our life, and then all of a sudden the reflection happens from your divine viewpoint. So the other aspect of fellowship with God the Father was love. We come to love Him. And that is really what causes us to change our lifestyle. Because without love, you can't make a change. If you're not passionate about what you think about, it's not going to cause you to make a change in what you think about on the external. So the more passionate we become, the more loyal we become to our Savior, the more loyal we become to God the Father and our love to Him. And just an offshoot of this is our faith grows and becomes stronger and stronger as we move along this path. So we said that true love includes thinking of the object, taking their thoughts, their desires into consideration, and acting up on those. And we can apply that to our daily relationships in life with people. And really, that's what it's all about. So, and I don't want to beat this horse again, but we did mention those that just give the lip service to God, and I think we all got the point there. So the point is that if your life doesn't reflect what you continually learn, then there is no fellowship with God the Father. There can't be. There's no love there. There's no true relationship. And this is progressive. We all go through the beginning to the growth, and we come to love. So there's not necessarily anything wrong with this type of behavior, the life not changed. But that's our goal. That's what we come to do as a Christian, and that's actually what we are commanded to do as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ. Then we talked about fellowship with God the Son, which is found in 1 Corinthians 1:9. And the difference here is that we were called into fellowship with His Son. And I didn't mention it on Sunday, but the word for call here is kaleo, and it usually is translated to call. But this is more than just the general calling of someone. It has a personal touch to it. It has a personal invitation in it. There's a personal aspect of this. And it brought to my mind, isn't it an awesome thing to know that God has a unique, personal, customized plan for each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. This is an invitation that we have, not going to the masses, going to each person individually and custom designed for you as a believer. And what does that include? It fits your skills. It fits your personality. It fits your desires. All these things. It fits these. That's what's in this call. This is what he's telling us to respond to. Why wouldn't you respond to that is my question. But see, we can only come to enjoy this by responding to the call. That's it. Responding to the call. Up to that point, if you don't respond to come and to grow in the things that God has designed for you, guess what you do? You look for everything else that you think you might want, and it's not anything that God designed and wanted you to have. So it's a search. It's a search. So kaleo also has a legal aspect to it, as in a summon. So this includes God's justice in relationship to our responsibility. That's the call. Just like if we miss a jury summons, there's repercussions, right? It reminds me one time I completely forgot about it. And I called the lady and she said, don't worry about it. Every once in a while you get graced out, right? But technically there are legal ramifications. If you miss a jury summons, they can take legal action against you. It's the same with this call, this invitation that we have from God. And if we choose to ignore his calling in our lives, guess what? There's also ramifications. There's ramifications which come in the form of divine discipline and also just in general missing out. I mean, missing out on the blessings that we have available. We're actually just, leaving ourselves out of something so fantastic. So, and though, of course, those include blessings on this earth and rewards in heaven. That's what everyone wants. I don't know any human being that doesn't want those things. So you want to include yourself in these. And remember, we're talking about fellowship with God the Son, growing, learning, and sticking on path. Remember, we said it was mission-focused. So this is the only way to fulfill this call is by making the Word of God number one priority in your life. Number one. That's it. I don't know how to say any other way to say that point except that. Make the Word of God your number one priority. Number one. And there will be various things that will come into your life that will detract you from that. But what do you have to do? Get back on point. Get back on focus. If it's your number one priority, your intensity will grow. It will grow and grow and grow. So, and all this is coming to know and love Jesus Christ through His Word. Through His Word. So it's about the mission and it's about fulfilling our responsibility in that mission. And the mission I'm referring to is actually stated in 2 Peter 3:18. It says, grow. There's your command, imperative. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. So this is about running the race set before us with endurance. And we all should have a desire to run the race so that we can hear those wonderful words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Now, those are the words that you don't want to miss out on as a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't want to get the short end of the stick and, you know, saying, I gave you a few things to be faithful with and you just neglected them. You rejected them. And now I can't give you as much as I could have before. So now we've made our round to fellowship with the Holy, with God the Holy Spirit. This is found in Philippians 2, 1 and 2, and 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. The spiritual life is a supernatural way of life, and it obviously requires something other than outside of ourselves to live it. It requires a supernatural means of operation, and that's why we're talking about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And since God supplies all of our needs, according to Philippians 4:19, He has given us the Holy Spirit so that we can live this life in a very specific way that He has designed. And this is part of that design right here. And this is really why we have to know these facets of this, the Holy Spirit and how He functions in our lives. And it also keeps us from utilizing our God-given right to access the power of the Holy Spirit if we don't understand what He's doing and what He has available to us. I can always remember in the Navy that there's a lot of benefits. There's a lot of benefits. But someone says, you know, you have to go to this website to get all this information, this website, and this. You got to go talk to this person. And if you didn't know this information, you would miss out on so many benefits. And a lot of guys have no clue that they have benefits. They can go on a trip to another ship. They can go do all these great things, but they just don't know about it. And it's the same with here. If we don't know about it, we're not going to utilize it. Or you could know about it and just reject it, which some people did that too. So we know that all believers have been regenerated at the point of salvation. And that's where eternal life is imputed to your human spirit. And we are made a new creature. And remember, I want to talk about the permanent things and then we'll talk about the temporary. We can never get out of the royal family of God no matter how hard you try. So once we have a human spirit with eternal life imputed to it, we can never lose that. So now we have a human spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Those two things we cannot lose. We can't lose them. So what about the rest of it? Well, there's passages that help us understand this, and we've all heard these before many, many, many times. But we have to take a look at them, because if there's things that we don't lose and there's things that we do lose or can forego, that's also based on our volition, we definitely need to take a look on them, because fellowship includes participation, 100% participation. Remember the definition? So there's four passages I want to look at that talk about, will help us understand full divine participation. So the first one is Ephesians 5:18. And we've all heard them. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So let's just talk about this for a second. Dissipation is a word in the Greek that means wastefulness, which usually involves a lifestyle of dependence on some form of our lust pattern. This is what we're talking about. Uncontrolled lust that you allow to continue. We've all heard it. You know, I just can't stop doing it. I'm too weak. I can't help it. Those kind of things. These are all excuses to continue on that same path. Okay? What this passage is showing us is a contrast we have here between that which is wasteful, empty, and uncontrolled versus that which has divine usefulness and which fills and completes us. And most importantly, controls us. That's what we're talking. This passage is really, if you get down to the nuts and bolts of this passage, we're talking about control. What is controlling you in your life? Is it something that's wastefulness? Or is it something that has a control and has a purpose in your life? And it says, but be filled, pleroo, with the Spirit. And here it is, another one. Present tense, imperative mood. You probably knew that was coming. There's your command. So it means to be filled, to be controlled. It means to fill up a deficiency. Now we just heard about something that's wasted, wastefulness, deficient. What does this do? Fill up a deficiency. The filling of the Holy Spirit fills up our deficiency of power to execute the spiritual life. That's what this passage brings out to us. So we have a command to turn away from the control of our sin nature and give control back where it should be. So it's just talking about control. And this is, remember, this is something that we can lose. So it's talking about giving it back, giving control back from your sin nature that's controlling you and giving the control back to the Holy Spirit. So we have two things. We have sin, a decision to sin, and we have a decision to go back, to be filled. There's two things, okay? The next one is Galatians 5:16. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. And this is very revealing. And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Now, it just dawned on me that we have a lot more slides than that one. Okay. Okay. Verse 17, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So, walk by means of the Spirit here is a reference to consistently being filled with the Spirit while living the Christian way of life. When we are walking by means of the Spirit, we're continually, constantly utilizing the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're doing. The word for walk means to walk. But walk while staying within a realm of something. This is what this is saying. While staying within the realm of something, which is within the controlling aspect of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? Present tense, continuous action, imperative mood. Keep on walking by means of the Spirit. So there it is again. So we have two things again. And then verses 18 through 21 talk about what? The sin. The sin that prevents us from walking. So we've got two things again. We've got the sin that prevents us, and we have a decision required by us to walk. Same thing. Same exact thing. Sin, volition come into play here. So we have the filling of the Spirit. We have walking by means of the Spirit, which is really a consistent utilization of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then we have Ephesians 4:30, which says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Same pattern. Present imperative to not grieve the Holy Spirit. So this is telling us something not to do. Not grieve. The Greek word for grieve can mean to cause severe distress, to offend, to irritate. And I thought this was interesting. A second century author named Polyanus wrote about military strategy, and he used this word to mean the severe humiliation or outrage experienced by a king who had been dethroned by his people. A king that had been dethroned by his people. And that fits right here. That really does fit, because isn't it what we do when we remove the Holy Spirit from empowering our lives? We dethrone Him. In our realm, don't we? We remove Him from empowering our lives and replace it with the power of the flesh. Just as the people turned against their king, we turn against the Holy Spirit and we dive into the flesh. And we say, I want to use this power. I don't want your rule. I want this rule to rule over me. So we have the same two things. We have the sin, which is in the immediate context and what actually causes the grieving. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another. And then it switches to the other side. But you see, sin is the same problem. It's the same thing. Volition and sin. And our fourth verse is 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It talks about, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. This is, once again, present active imperative. Not surprised. But this word is even stronger than grieve. And we know that, right? We know this word is stronger than the word grieve. It means to stifle or to suppress. Those are serious words. To stifle means to make unable to breathe properly or to suffocate. We're talking about this in relationship to the Holy Spirit here. We're taking an active role in this. It's not just a sin and we get off path and we lose our filling and we get off track and we stop walking with the Spirit. This is taking the reins and suppressing the Holy Spirit and going deeper and deeper in sin, is what this is saying. So this is a deeper dive into the sin nature's control over one's life. So unlike grieving the Holy Spirit, where we are temporarily removing its power, we now have something that you are choosing to do. And you're choosing to suffocate the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like a fire and you're constantly trying to put it out by your sin nature. So that's more of an effort we see there. This has become more of a lifestyle for one. It becomes more of a lifestyle. So we also know of a few other things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. We know the Holy Spirit teaches us. We know the Holy Spirit teaches us God's Word. He teaches our human spirit. Otherwise, we would have no way to have epinosis doctrine in our souls. 1 Corinthians 2:1-16 explain that, which is the teaching ministry we just heard, ministry of the Holy Spirit, and includes faith mixed with God's Word, which the Holy Spirit makes understandable and turns into epinosis, which we can apply. So think about that. If we're not filled, if we're not walking, if we're even suppressing maybe, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit goes from salvation until spiritual maturity. Now that's important. That is huge. We need this. We got to have this. We got to have all cylinders firing. And this is one of those cylinders right here. Teaching, learning, growing. So the Holy Spirit, by definition, was given to be our mentor, our paraclete, which is a helper, a guide, a teacher, and a counselor of every believer from the moment of our salvation. The moment of our salvation, we've always had this. The Holy Spirit is how we can live our lives in a manner which glorifies God and also produces divine good. Now that's important. That's the main purpose of this life, is to glorify God and produce divine good. Remember what we're still talking about, fellowship. We're still talking about fellowship. And the one thing that is consistent about fellowship is that it requires your participation. It does. It requires our participation. We're not going to grow in grace and knowledge by just sitting on our hands. It can't happen. Not going to happen. It does take your participation. It takes your effort to do this. So, that's consistent throughout. But look what it requires our volition. But think about the Holy Spirit's role in this. This is the entry point to the others. The Holy Spirit, the power in your life, the glorification of God, you growing and learning spiritually, none of that can happen without the Holy Spirit. None of that can happen. So this is the entry point of our participation right here. Without divine power, you're navigating without a rudder. It's impossible. Can't do it. And just like when you were out of fellowship with the Father, what have we done? We've made a decision to live in such a way that reflects our fellowship with the Son. See how they're linked? So your growth reflects your living, which is our decision to come to know Christ and to think like Him. And when you are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that's only possible at that time. So both of those are cut off without the Holy Spirit controlling your soul. And that's why going through this, I think we need to see what's happening and where the focus is being put on. And the focus is really being put on our volition. The focus is being put on our decision to do the certain things that are required of us. And they're easy, but there are commands. There are steps. There are various things that we need to do. So we have freedom to choose for or against God. And that's really what this boils down to. Throughout your life, you're either going to choose for or against God. And I'm talking about a decision by decision. Every moment of your life, each decision you make, you're either going to choose for or against God. Control here is the key word. There are two things controlling your soul. It's either the sin nature or the Holy Spirit. You can't have it in between. So the Holy Spirit enables us to learn and grow and also produce divine good, which we said. Glorify God. But when we disable the power, we lose out on everything. So each of these verses commanding us, be filled, walk by means of, do not grieve, do not quench. We already said there's some kind of sin that's causing the issue and all that. All those verses, sin is the root cause. Sin. By sin, we disable or disallow the Holy Spirit to do His job. That's what we do. And this is why the emphasis in fellowship is always put on the Holy Spirit. That's why we say fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We don't come up here and say fellowship with the Trinity. That's a process. We want to get at the entry point. We want to get the power. We want to get the teaching element involved here. Fellowship, this is the starting point. We can't learn God's word on a consistent basis or think with the mind of Christ without what? The filling of the Holy Spirit. And we can't glorify God in our lives, which is fellowship with the Father, without what? The Holy Spirit. So, these things are linked very, very well. This has long been thought out before we were here. And if you're thinking, wouldn't this be nice if we had a way to deal with sin? Well, you know where this has taken us. We've come full circle to 1 John 1:9. Our entry point. We do have a way. We have a way to deal with sin. 1 John 1:9. What do we need to do? Confess. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This ability is what allows us to learn and grow in God's Word, and it allows us to produce divine good. It does. But you know what happens many times? Production first. Forget all the power, the guidance, the help, the mentorship, the teaching. I just want to produce. The cart is before the horse. The fellowship is not there. There's no fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There's no fellowship with the Son. There's no fellowship with the Father. I just want to do good things for God. And guess what you end up with? Dead works. Means absolutely nothing. And that's sad. That's a lot of work. You might want to make it count. So we've got a way to deal with this sin in our lives. So we have, we've taken care of that part of it. So when we take our time and just pay attention to the details of God's Word, which we all do, we all love the Lord. We do. And we sit back and we want to learn these things and we grow and we take our time. We don't just jump out in front of the horse. It takes time in the Word. How come no one understands that in the world? It takes time in a relationship to grow. It takes time. And if you don't take the time, what you end up with is what? What we just talked about, wood, hay, and stubble. The problem is being positive. What we need is positivity and the humility to make God's Word more important than our desires. That's the key right there. If God's Word is more important to you than what you desire as a human being, a healthy human being, normal desires, if God's Word is more important to you, that's the ticket. Then you can truly experience what Paul is talking about right here. He's talking about joy. Remember? He's experiencing joy here. We've got the whole circle has been completed with fellowship, and Paul is feeling that here. And he knows for a fact that these Philippian believers are in fellowship. They're doing their part. And I felt like this study has a lot to it. I can't spend as much time but I think it's time to move on from this. But I'm glad we did it. But I also feel like this study is tied to a much larger role in our life. We are in something that we all know called the angelic conflict. And it boils down to your volition, your free will decisions in a battle for your life. So fellowship is so critical in this unseen, invisible warfare. It is. God designed this. He designed it. And He designed it for us to win. But we cannot win if we are not in fellowship with God, the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father. And we've got to keep that in mind. And that's the oneness in the Holy Spirit. So, and I knew this would happen, but that's okay. Because we're going to have a part three. We hadn't even made it to the gospel. We hadn't even made it to the next word. That's all right. So let's go ahead and close with prayer on that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for showing us Your plan, showing us Your matchless plan, showing us that we don't have to do anything outside of Your realm. You've provided the power. You've provided the materials, the Word. You provided everything we need to live, to grow, to mature, to love, and to produce for You because we love You. And we realize our purpose on this earth. We thank You so much for realizing that. And most of all, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. And for anyone who's never had a chance to think about life after death or what happens after you die, it's time to really start thinking about that. Because that is a real thing. You're going to die. And guess what? Before you die, God has made provision for you. He's provided a way to have access, not only access to Him, but provided a way to have eternal life forever. And He provided it through His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ came to the earth. He was nailed to a cross for one reason. He was on a mission. He had to take on every sin of the entire human race and pay the penalty for it. And the reason He did that is because we could not do it. We were sinners. He died for our sins on the cross. He paid the penalty. And guess what? Now, we have access to God Himself by one thing, and that's accepting the gift of Jesus Christ on the cross by faith alone in Christ alone. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. It's that easy. Why? Because the work's been done on the cross. It's been taken care of. Thank You so much for providing salvation and having it so available to us in Your grace. In Christ's name, amen.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns. All music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King. Through all eternity, crown Him the Lord of love. Behold His hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above. Him. victorious in the strife. For those he came to save, his glories now we see. Who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring. And lives that death may die. Shall never